Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
We have one of Philadelphia's favorite sons on the line, and he is going to be hosting a really cool event called Play On. It's called Celebrating the Power of Music to Make Change, and it's coming up Tuesday, 8 o'clock, CBS and CBS All Access, and he's co-hosted by a Philly native as well, too.
Yeah.
Eve will be a part of this. Please welcome Kevin Bacon to the show. Good morning to you, Kevin.
How's it going, guys? How's
Dude, it's going? Going. It is going great, man. It's great to talk to you. It's been a little while since we've had conversations, but listen, I want to start off by thanking you for a little nod to our radio station. A little while back, you had posted a video on social media enjoying some fine blues music, and you were wearing a throwback WMMR t-shirt, so that was really cool, man.
How about that t-shirt, man? I love that thing. I treasure it. I think it's got to be probably, I don't know, maybe somebody at the station can give me a year on it, but I don't know, maybe early 80s, late 70s, wow. Something like that.
Yeah.
And it's in mint shape.
No, so it's not even a throwback. It's vintage.
Oh, listen, I've never washed it. Of course it's in mint shape.
That's how you do it. You call it seasoning the shirt. That's what it's about.
Yes. Hey, I can wear it when I'm alone.
Listen, I enjoy you and your conversations about music that you have on your accounts. And, you know, sometimes you're in a rock mood and sometimes you're in a blues mood. And your musical tastes seem to be, you know, they run the gamut. So it's got to be fun for you to share your excitement in music.
Oh, yeah, sure it is. You know, the kind of series that I did, this Monday Blues thing, was just with the idea of, you know, it came up during the pandemic, during the lockdown. And I was just thinking, you know, I don't know, songs that just make me feel good, you know, songs that just kind of, you know, can turn my mood around. And so it's been fun to dig in, given that kind of template.
So I'm a big fan of you know, documentaries, especially well-done documentaries. And for some reason, even though I myself am not a musician, I find documentaries about musicians incredibly engaging. And
me too.
Yeah, right. And it's just something about the discovery of music for these people and how it, you know, how it affects. I just watched one about Gordon Lightfoot. I'm a Gordon Lightfoot fan, but it was amazing. And so you obviously, you're a musician yourself, but there's something about the story, something about what music can do for people that makes these stories unique.
Absolutely. I watch almost every music documentary that comes out. And I, even if they're not good, I still love them. Gordon Lightfoot is next. I just finished that, but I love them. And you know, the thing is the music is it's a powerful force in all our lives. I mean, you know, you look at a place like MMR and the long history that radio station has had. And I remember as a kid, you know, when, you know, FM just kind of took off, and up to that point, I was listening to AM rock or AM soul music. And then, when I started listening to MMR, it really kind of opened up all these doors of music, and you know, it becomes it's corny to say, but it becomes the soundtrack of our lives.
No, yeah, absolutely. I was telling these guys about it. There's a great documentary on Bob Marley. It's called Marley. And were you aware, Kevin, that he moved from Jamaica to Wilmington, Delaware for a portion of his life?
I did not know that he was from Wilmington.
Yeah. Yes! His mother...
You can't help but laugh.
His mother had left Jamaica and moved here, and he was already establishing himself as a musician in Jamaica. He was having some success, but he wasn't making very much money, so he left everything, moved to Wilmington, Delaware, was vacuuming floors at the DuPont Hotel. And Bob Marley lived in Wilmington, Delaware. It's crazy.
Tax-free shopping.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Actually, you know, in our show Play On, Ziggy is one of our guests.
Oh, excellent.
And he does from the Troubadour in L.A. He's with a great singer, Andra Day, and they do one of Ziggy's songs, which is called Justice, and then it kind of is a medley with Get Up, Stand Up.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a really, really great moment because you're kind of hearing this new tune, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just kind of morphs into Get Up, Stand Up. And you know, that legacy of Marley is pretty strong.
So the Troubadour, and there's some other venues involved in this as well, correct?
Yeah, we have the Troubadour, we have the Apollo, and we have the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. Everyone's pretty familiar, I think, with the Apollo, and the Troubadour from the Elton John movie had a big part. It was like a character pretty much.
In the
Elton John movie. But the Bluebird in Nashville, for those people that don't know, is that it's kind of a legendary place where the great songwriters of Nashville will go and kind of present their wares. And my brother and I actually played there one time, which is too intimidating to say the least, because it's the audience kind of sits in a circle and you just get up there with it, with your guitar, and say, oh, here's my, you know, sad song about my dog.
Right.
And you're playing the songs to like the greatest songwriters in the world, pretty much. And they're all there and they're all listening. And it's a very intimidating gig. But when we were trying to pick venues for the show, I thought that would be a really good one. And it comes out. It's a great moment. We have Sheryl Crow down there. She's doing a George Harrison song called Beware of Darkness. And we also have Yola, who is an incredible singer from England, being backed up by the High Women, which is kind of, you know, super group with Brandi Carlile, Maren Morris, and
it's great. I guess it's the female version of the Highwaymen, which was I love that configuration. But man, do they sound good together?
Yeah, they sound great. And then Maren, who is a giant country star, also one of the Highwaymen, does a new song of hers that she wrote during the pandemic. And, you know, the thing that you get when you're watching this for people who like music, you can already tell, like, you know, my musical taste is pretty much across the board, as you were pointing out, from the Monday Blues. But also on the show, we've got reggae, we've got rap, we've got rock and rock, we've got some soul music, we've got country music. I mean, the only thing I wasn't sure we had was jazz, but then John Batiste is in this kind of super group that's put together from the Apollo, and they're doing People Get Ready, and he does a little solo on the piano halfway through that I think would definitely qualify as jazz. So I think we have something for everybody.
Nice. Well, it's very eclectic, and I love when you have an artist who comes along who you may not – when they first – present themselves to you are not perhaps doing a type of music that you like, but then you find out there's a lot more depth. I'm thinking of, you know, Machine Gun Kelly is now kind of gone into a Blink 182 rock realm, and I like to see people, you know, take a Whitman sampler to music and try different things. And so a lot of times with these things, it's actually why I think the Grammys has become, you know, outside of pandemic land, my favorite awards show, because you get these pairings. It's similar to what this what Play On's going to be. You get these artists doing these different songs in these different ways, and it kind of opens your eyes to things. And that's where these shows shine.
Yeah, it's great. Actually, we have Machine Gun Kelly from the Apollo, which is you mentioned him, and I'm the same as you. You know, it's really refreshing for, you know, old guys like me who really like, you know, bands that are, you know, kind of guitar driven, to hear this kind of, you know, power punk pop vibe, which you know we don't hear all that much, and he's all in on that, and he sounds fantastic.
Let me
go ahead.
I just wanted to ask also about the venues. Going back to the venues, all this stuff that's going on. You and your brother, you know, touring around to these different areas, and the stories and the experiences. And the fact that with all this going on, the people who work there getting so decimated, it's such a horrific thing. I know we're coming out of this. It looks like there's stuff that, you know, that's going to get us through this on the horizon. But, you know, you think about these great venues that might be lost forever that are disappearing because of this. Was that in some way what informed or went into your decision to go to these classic places to highlight them?
Absolutely. The partners that we have, John Varvatos, Greg Williamson, and Nicole Rector, they've done a show for quite a few years from the Beacon, which theater in New York, which is called Love Rocks, and it's a live show. It's not a televised show. You know, when they're all giant music fans and have a lot of, you know, connections to artists and to these venues. So when it was definitely a driving part of the show. We're benefiting Why Hunger and the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund. So these are two fantastic organizations on the front lines of hunger and of social justice. But the other piece of it was to try to highlight these venues. And listen, you know, I can't wait till we can go out and hear live music again. I can't wait till we can go out and, you know, sit in a movie theater. You know, these are, I believe really strongly that it will come back, because I think that human beings naturally want to kind of share experiences together.
Agreed. Sheer force of will make it happen. Anyone who thinks otherwise, I think, is wrong. It's something that it is an aspect of humanity that we enjoy experiencing things with other people, of seeing the reaction, of getting a crowd response, of being there at that moment where there's, you know, a three curtain calls and all that stuff that means something to us.
I completely agree with you, and it's just a matter of time. But it's sad that there's so many people that work in the music industry, the venues, the front of house, the crews, the you know, players, just players in bands that are suffering so much during this time.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you on so if you're going to take a glass half full look at everything that's happened over this past year, as far as things like, you know, the concerts online and these performances and these mashups and these things that have been occurring, is there anything that you see that has intrigued you that you see porting through after COVID that you would like to see continued in the way music is dispensed?
Well, listen, I think that it's been a little bit of a process to figure out how to do music from to stay home and watch music, right?
Right.
And there's been a lot of people that have done it, and I think that in the early stages there was something really kind of nice and quaint about, you know, I'm going to sit in my living room with an acoustic guitar because I can't come out. I'm just going to play my song. And I think that we saw a lot of that. And it's good. And it was refreshing to see. But then we've also seen on the flip side, these situations where people have kind of created what's supposed to look like a live show.
But right.
there's nobody there.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like, whoa, I don't know. I'm feeling a little like off center here, you know?
Yeah.
What we tried to do in Play On was kind of hit the sweet spot in the middle of that. And, you know, when the NBA was going to play in a bubble, I thought to myself, this is going to be terrible. I mean, I might not want to watch like something with no, just like cutouts or, you know, digital Zooms of people watching a game. But it was completely infectious to me, that the season. I loved it. And I think the reason was that the players were so joyful in the way that they played the game. And you realize that that's the thing that they're really, really great at doing and the thing they've spent their whole life doing. And I think that's the vibe that you get from Play On. So to answer your question, you know, I am someone that really likes to have an option of watching some music on television. And I felt like there was more of that when I was a kid. You know, it was Don Kirshner's rock concert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Midnight Special. And yeah, there was, you know, there was a bunch of stuff that you could see things. And now, aside from Austin City Limits, I don't think there's really that much, you know, televised music. So as much as I think that it's fantastic that we're going to be able to somehow get back and play in venues, I think that I would just personally love to see some more shows with people, you know, get great players getting there and being able to play. And so maybe a piece of that will sustain. I don't know.
Yeah, there was a great show in the 80s called Music Night. I don't know if you remember that or not, Kevin.
Yeah, Music Night.
Yeah, like David Sanborn was a host and Nigel Lofgren. Yeah, they're, you're right. We don't have those types of shows anymore. It would be nice to see a resurgence of that.
Yeah. I remember a funny show that didn't last long. It was with I think it was called, God, I wish I could remember what it was called, but I seem to remember that David Steinberg was the host.
David Steinberg of a music show.
Yeah, a music show. And I think the deal was that the band that had the number one record, like the number one Billboard hit, like that week, would come on and play their song.
Huh.
So that was kind of the basis of it. But the show, I think, went down the tubes because it just so happened the number one song for like weeks in a row was Sugar Sugar. So they had to have the. So it was like different ways of trying to have the artists on.
Right. It was just bad timing. Bad timing.
Yeah, bad timing. Yeah. It doesn't make for compelling television.
Right.
Well, so, Kev, have you ever heard of a show? I don't think it aired here with any sort of regularity called Later with Jules Holland.
No, I don't think so.
Oh man, it is such a great show, and so I mean it's all about music, and the way I was introduced, so I just sort of like ended up on it somehow. I don't even know what channel it was on.
You can find him on YouTube nowadays.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and essentially, I mean the guy just kind of introduced him. Hey, I'm Jules Holland, and then next thing you know, a band plays, right? And we're talking like a good band, right? Like it would be like, let's say Oasis, and then Oasis would do a number, and you would think, okay, well that's that, and they're gonna, you know, sit down for an interview. But no, there's another stage right next to the Oasis stage, and there's Amy Winehouse, and she does a song, and then
yes, I do. This is a British show, right?
Yes. Correct. I would love to see something like that here, you know, filmed with some sort of regularity in the United States.
Right. Yes, I do know that show, and I think that's a really super, super cool idea. I think that I would love to see. Well, listen, maybe who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
Maybe it's Atlanta with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Now the wheels are spinning.
There you go,
Kevin. I want to ask you a question that has nothing to do with music. It has to do with Guardians of the Galaxy. Did you have any idea that reference was coming, or was that completely sprung on you as well?
Dude, somebody told me. Somebody said to me, literally, have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy? And I said, no. And they said, you should see it. And so I literally went alone, having no idea I want to see a movie anyway, but I was like, well, this is a super cool movie. And then that was like the best way kind of to experience that weird moment was the fact that I had no idea it was coming.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, yeah. Yesterday, I'm reading this book called Ready Player Two. It's a follow up to Ready Player One, which is a fantastic book. They made it into a movie a couple of years ago, and you are mentioned in the book. And I'm like, dude, we're having them on this week. it's got to be cool, you know, that you pop up in references like that. Or does it make you feel really old? You know?
No, here's what I would rather do. Pop up in the friggin' movie.
Yeah. It wouldn't hurt to throw a little paycheck at you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, sure. It's sure nice that you mentioned me. Jeez, great. Thanks.
I mean, honestly, Peter Quill was on Earth at some point. Maybe Kevin Bacon shows up to say thank you for helping saving the universe.
Hell, you were in the Marvel universe. Ben,
Shaw.
Yes, absolutely. There's got to be some way to pair you guys up.
Yeah.
Can you guys get on that?
We can.
Yeah, I'm going to make a phone call.
I wanted to ask a question about you know, because the biopic has become. You'd mentioned the Elton John film, and obviously Bohemian Rhapsody. There's been some really well done biopics. What's the story? Which band or musician do you think would be a good one that we haven't seen yet?
For a biopic?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go... Well, first off, I'd love to see an Oasis biopic just to see them, you know, beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah, you could make it. It's a martial arts movie as well.
I love Oasis.
I thought that Kiss would be pretty ripe with material, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. But then also, you know, I don't know. It's interesting because, you know, the thing about the Elton John thing, which was cool, is that a lot of times the biopics, they wait or they only really work because, you know, the person is dead. And then, you know, and so that's when you do it, you know. And I thought Rocket Man just was so interesting. It was also just... had such an interesting point of view, but I don't know, maybe what, James Taylor, maybe?
I mean, you know, it's weird. I watched a movie, it was about Helen Reddy, You know, and I'm like, and it was good. And it's just again, to the earlier part of the conversation, there's something about the dynamic of here's your song, here's your music. It's a representation of you. You're going up in front of critics and audiences. Will it be accepted? And it, even if it these things end up being formulaic because that's just the nature of the industry, it gets me every time.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. I like them. I watch them as well as the documentary. The journey of musicians is just something that's always
it's unique.
Always fascinating to me.
I'd like to see a Jerry Garcia biopic, by the way.
That'd be good.
And also, speaking of documentaries, my wife has been raving about the Dolly Parton documentary. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but if you have not, she highly recommends it.
I haven't seen that one yet. No, I will check it out. I will check it out for sure because I love Dolly.
Let me ask you, you did Live from Daryl's House.
Speaking of music on TV, that's kind of
a great show. When you get, I mean, and you're obviously you guys are accomplished, the Bingham Brothers are accomplished, but you know, it'll happen sometimes. You're looking across at someone, another musician, and you're like, oh my God. Have you ever had that? I hope I don't F this up.
No, constantly. We've had the opportunity to either play with or be on the stage or be in the proximity of some big artists, and I have to say that I still am starstruck around musicians in a way that I'm not really around actors. You know, like the rest of the world, I think I kind of put musicians on a pedestal. I really do, and. When we went to play at Daryl's House, the deal with that is that you're going to, play a couple of your tunes, play a couple of Daryl's tunes that you kind of get to choose, and then a cover or two. And it's not our band; it's Daryl's band, who are top of the line players, and in a great, sonically great room and everything, and. To walk into the house and the cats were, over in the studio and they were playing a song that I wrote, I was like, oh my God, this is, and then to actually sit down and sing with Daryl, who to me has one of the most interesting and unique voices in pop music in the way that he, like melodically where he tends to go and the way that he phrases things is really, really interesting and unusual. I love his runs. I love his licks,
Yeah, he's amazing.
And just to hear like him, doing a little riff on a melody that you wrote, it was like a real, wow. It was a real pinch.
It's gotta be wild. Yeah,
cool. I'm sure. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have thought to do that with that melody.
Never. No, exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. Never would have.
Yeah. Hey, before we wrap, Kevin, speaking of Play On, which, by the way, is on Tuesday, 8 p.m., CBS and CBS All Access, I saw the name Bruce Springsteen here. Bruce is involved with this as well?
Bruce is involved, too. Yeah, Bruce is has been long involved with Why Hunger, which is this great organization. And it was started, actually, speaking of music, by Harry Chapin, and that years ago, I think the organization may be 40 years old. So Bruce was good enough to come on and do a little a drop in, a little show up on the show, which was fantastic. John Legend as well. Ringo's there.
Ringo.
Bon Jovi's premiering a new song called American Reckoning. As I mentioned, Ziggy Marley, Andre Day, Gary Clark Jr. I don't know if you're familiar with Gary.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
He's amazing.
Killer. Also playing a new song of his and Machine Gun Kelly and Sarah Bareilles and Emily King. It goes on. We got a great show. LL Cool J is also one of our producers. So got good stuff.
Listen, we've had you on multiple times, and I may have said this to you before, but like it to me, this is like it really is an honor to talk to you because 25 years ago, I would drunkenly sit in my dorm room with my buddy Ed Corcoran. I actually bought like basically this giant encyclopedia of every single movie ever made and every actor who ever acted in every movie, just so I would have an encyclopedic knowledge of all the Kevin Bacon movies so that I could rule the Kevin Bacon game. And we played it like, I mean, honestly, for hours and hours and hours.
Were you good at it?
I was really good at it. I'm telling you, I had to study so I would be able to get from, you know, Bruce Willis to Kevin Bacon in two movies. You
that
know?
Movie Sleepers really helped.
Sleepers helped. And then little movies, not little movies, but little parts like his, you know, stealing the taxi cab in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yes. It's like, dude, now you got Steve Martin and John Candy. And, you know, so it's just, it's wild that I'm talking to you right now.
Well, that is the definition of a misspent youth.
I think that nails it. Yeah.
I would just like to apologize to your parents.
and did Friday the 13th help you at all, Case, in that game?
No, because I don't know any of the other actors in that one.
There's got to be other people.
All right.
Wow. All right, Kevin, we will make sure people are aware of Play On, Celebrating the Power of Music to Make Change. It's going to be Tuesday, December 15th, 8 p.m. CBS and CBS All Access. And if you and your brother are making it back into Philly, please let us know. We want to see you again, okay?
Thank you guys so much. Thanks for your support. Always great to talk to you.
Anytime. Thank you, Kevin Bacon, guys.
Wow.
He's the best.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, we talked to Kevin Bacon, but predominantly about music, and it was just great.
Yep, I love it. Dr. Gary, stop bothering Kevin Bacon.
One of my favorites.
I was in the old studio.
My good friend Dr. Gary was in here, and he goes over and starts talking to Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Dr. Gary, stop bothering Kevin Bacon.
When you have a guest in, you kind of give them their space before the interview, and Gary kept going over just talking to him and bringing up music stuff and Steve. So, Dr. Gary, stop bothering Kevin Bacon.
Oh, my God.
He was so polite, too.
Kevin was.
So he wasn't going to say it. Steve had to say it on his behalf.
Get a whole lot more Preston and Steve at PrestonandSteve.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.